This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we begin a series called Radicalis, Developing Spiritual Roots. In these lessons, we'll learn how to live a life that is deeply rooted in Christ and His Word, so that we can become all God has created us to be. In just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how you can get the latest set of 52 Bible verse memorization cards. This set is based on this series, Radicalis, Developing Spiritual Roots, and will fit perfectly in your Daily Hope scripture box. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 for more information. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called Radical Faith.
If you want to understand what it really means to have faith, you go to a chapter in the Bible called Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter in the Bible. Just like 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter in the Bible, Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. And in that chapter, we have God's Hall of Fame. We have God's top 10 guys. We have the guys that God says, these are the people to model if you want to live a life of faith. And he talks about Joseph, and he talks about Abraham, and he talks about Moses, and he talks about Noah. And he lists all of the people that you've heard about through the Bible that are the heroes of the faith. It's God's, you know, Hall of Fame list. And we're going to look at seven of those people today because they model seven facets of radical faith. Let's get right into it. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I cannot overemphasize the importance of faith in your life. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin. The Bible says, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. God wants you to learn to trust him. That's the reason he put you on this planet, to learn to love him and to learn to trust him. And so living by faith is not some little side issue. You can't please God. Let me say that again. You cannot please God except through faith, not by working hard, not by trying hard, not by being your best, not by being perfect. None of those ways work anyway. The only way you bring pleasure to God is by loving him and trusting him. So what does it mean to have radical faith? I hope you're taking notes this week. Number one, faith, the Bible says verse 1 of Hebrews 11, faith is believing when I don't see it. Faith is believing. Radical faith is believing when I don't see it. What do I mean by that? Well, the Bible says in verse 1, Hebrews 11, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is visualizing the future in the present. Faith is seeing in advance. Now, this principle is found all through the world, regardless of whether a person is a Christian believer or not. Before, you know, we say, well, I'll believe it when I see it. You've heard that people say that. I'll believe it when I see it. But God says there are some things you have to believe in order to see it. Now, anybody who is a professional understands this. Architects know that they have to believe it, that the building can exist before it's built. And they've got to see it in their mind and believe it in their mind's eye before it gets on paper, before it becomes a building. Nothing just happens. It starts by believing that it could look like this before you see it happen. Any athlete knows that in order to win the race, you've got to see it in your mind. You've got to believe it's possible before it happens. Nobody goes to the Olympics thinking, I'm not going to win. They go with the attitude of, I believe I could win this. You have to believe it in order to see it. And they see themselves mentally crossing the finish line before they ever run the race. And they go over and over and over in their minds, rehearsing and rehearsing that vision, that image.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
One of the most popular study resources we've ever offered would have to be our Bible verse scripture cards. We get countless requests for them. And we've just added another set of 52 cards to this already amazing collection. Don't miss this opportunity to get these brand new scripture cards based on the key verses found in the Radicalis Developing Spiritual Roots series. We'll send you this great resource when you give a gift to support Daily Hope today. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Thanks so much for your support.
Hi, this is Pastor Rick. You know, there's so much we can be grateful for during Thanksgiving. No matter how things go wrong in your life, there's still something you can thank God for. But let's remember those who are less fortunate. Reach out to somebody with the love of God this Thanksgiving, maybe with a meal or a blanket, or invite them to church. Think about what you can do to let them know they're not forgotten during this season of giving thanks. God bless you all, and have a great Thanksgiving.
Once again, here's Rick.
Some things you have to believe before you see it. Wernher von Braun, who was the father of the American space program, said, "No great achievement has ever been achieved in history without faith." It's believing before you see it. You have to believe it's impossible long before it happens. And faith trusts God to make the vision, the dream, become reality. That's radical faith, believing before I see it. Number two, faith is obeying when I don't understand it. Faith is obeying when I don't understand it. And God gives us two examples of this in his Hall of Fame, Noah and Abraham. Noah, in Hebrews 11:7, it says this: "It was by faith that Noah built an ark to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about something that had never happened before." Now, can you imagine this circumstance? What if God came to you one day and said, "By the way, I think I'm going to destroy the whole world, and I'm going to do it with a flood, but I want you to build a big ship, and I'm going to save your family." Would you believe that? Highly unlikely. And he said, "I want you to build an ark." Now, it says there he did this to warn him about something that never happened before. Why? There had never been a flood. Why? The Bible says up to this time, it had never rained. That's why, by the way, when they saw the rainbow, they'd never seen a rainbow before. Why? It had never rained before. It says that there was a condensation that came up from the ground before the flood, something like dew on the ground, where it can the condensation. We don't even know how it actually happened, but we do know that people lived much longer before the flood than after. That before the flood, people lived 200, 300, 400 years, a long time. And after the flood, something changed in the climate, in the atmosphere, and people didn't live as long. They lived about as long as we do. So something changed. So God comes to Noah and says, "Noah, I want you to build an ark." What's an ark? It's a big ship. Now, Noah lives in Iraq at this time. He's nowhere near an ocean. And so he says, "I want you to build an ark in the middle of the desert." Right. And what's going to happen? It's going to flood. What's a flood? Well, lots of rain. What's rain? So would you believe this? How would you like to be Noah's three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth? And they're always having to explain their weirdo dad. What's your dad doing in the front yard there? He's been working on that thing for a long time. He's building an ark to save the world, and he's only going to save our family and not you. Right. It was probably very, very embarrassing. But Noah did it. It said he obeyed God even when he didn't understand it. I'm glad he did. We're all here as a result. And then there was a guy named Abraham who obeyed when he didn't understand it. The Bible says in verse 8, it was faith that made Abraham obey when God called him to go out to a country that God had promised to him. And he left his own country without knowing where he was going. Now, Abraham was another guy who lived in what's now modern-day Iraq. He lived in a city called Ur. Now, how'd you like to be? Where are you from? I'm from Ur. And God said, Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. It's going to be the nation of Israel. And I'm going to give you your own country, but you're 75 years old. And what I want you to do is I want you to go on the greatest adventure of your life. Follow me to a new country. Now, Abraham doesn't get any of the details. God says, I want you to pack up everything at 75 years of age and leave. Just when you're ready to settle down, I want you to get it in gear. Just when you're ready for Social Security, get ready for social insecurity. Just when you're ready to hang it up on the wall, you take it down and dust it off, because now you're going for the biggest ride of your life at age 75. Abraham starts asking, where are we going, Lord? Well, you've never heard of this place. And how long is it going to take to get there? Well, don't worry about it. How will I know when I'm there? I'll tell you. If God told you right at retirement, you're getting ready for the biggest journey of your life, and I want you to move to someplace you've never been before, and I'm going to start over and build a great nation through you, would you believe that? Abraham became the father of faith and the father of a nation because he obeyed when he didn't understand it. Now, obedience always involves taking risks. See, some people want to obey God when there's a guarantee. God, I'll do this if you'll guarantee it'll work out. God says, no, this is a risk here. God, I'll start this new business. I'll move to this new location. I'll enroll in school. I'll go after my dream if you'll guarantee it. God's not going to guarantee it. He wants you to live by faith. 1975, when I'm 25 years old, living in Fort Worth, Texas, and I get an idea in my mind, and God says, I want you to move to Southern California to a place called the Saddleback Valley and start a church. Now, there were plenty of reasons for me to doubt that. First place, I had never been a pastor. Second, I had never been to the Saddleback Valley. I didn't know what it looked like. Third, I had no money. Fourth, no members. Fifth, no building. No support. And lots of reasons to doubt what God had told me to do. I'm glad I obeyed him. Sometimes God asks us to do the impossible just to stretch our faith. And sometimes God asks you to do something that doesn't make sense at all for the same reason, to stretch your faith. You see, in the Bible, in just the New Testament alone, there are 1,050 commands where God says, I want you to do this, and I don't want you to do this. And I want you to do this, and I don't want you to do this. And these 1,050 commands, many of them are inconvenient. Many of those commands are unreasonable. Many of those commands actually seem impossible. But they are all there for your benefit, because God only acts in your life for good. He only acts in your life because he loves you. He knows what will make you happy more than you will. And when you follow his commands, you get all these blessings in your life. And when you ignore them, you do it to your own detriment. You just hurt yourself. You get broken hearts. You get broken minds. You get broken bodies. You get regrets. You get shame. You get guilt. You get resentment. All these other things, worry, because you don't do it God's way. God says, the plans I have for you, they're good plans, plans for future, plans for hope. So every time God tells you in the Bible to do something, even when it's inconvenient, or irrational from your point of view, or illogical, or impossible, and you say, okay, I'm going to do it because you say so, Lord, because you say so, I'm going to do it. You always, always get blessed. And whenever God asks you to do something, it's a test. It's a test of your faith. What am I going to trust, God or my gut? That's the test. Am I going to trust God or my gut? Am I going to test what I feel is the right thing to do? Or am I going to do what God says is the right thing to do? It's always a test of your faith. Faith is believing when I don't see it, and faith is obeying when I don't understand it, when it doesn't make sense to me. You see, the Bible says there's a way that seems right to man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. In other words, a lot of things that look like the right thing to do, seem like the right thing to do, would be easier to do, would be more convenient to do, might even be more popular to do. But God says, it seems right, but it's going to end in a dead end. It's a dead end. And you're just going to hit the wall, and you're going to hurt yourself. Don't do it. In fact, I usually figure out, what would I naturally do in this circumstance and do the opposite? Because my natural inclination is to do what's best for me, to do what's selfish, to do what's self-centered, to do what's easy, to do what's convenient. So God comes along and says things like, whenever anybody hurts you, you forgive them. What? I don't want to forgive them. I want to hurt them back. In fact, I want to hurt them more than they hurt me. My natural inclination is to not forgive people who hurt me. My natural inclination is to slug them back, get it right back. But God says, no, no, that's the way that seems right, but it ends in a dead end. It ends in death. You're going to only hurt yourself. You don't understand how much resentment's going to hurt you more than it hurts them. So when God tells you to do something, like forgive your enemies, that rarely feels right. And it doesn't just, you know, go with your system, but it is right. It's the right thing to do. And God says, if you do it, you'll be blessed. And he blesses you for obeying. Now, as a kid, how many of you had parents who asked you or told you to do something that when they told you to do it, you thought, that is sheer nonsense? Can I see your hands? The rest of you were raised by wolves, I see, okay? Because every parent has done that in their life. Do it, why? Because I say so. Oh, great. That's not a reason, because I say so. What they're saying then is, trust me. I know better than you. And how many of you looking back can actually admit now that some of the things your parents told you to do, which seemed like nonsense, were actually in that moment quite wise? Can I see your hands? Yeah. Now, if our parents, who are imperfect and we're sinful and we make mistakes, can often know the right thing that we don't know to do, how much more does a perfect, loving God know what you need? And he says, do it. And they say, why, Lord? Why should I do that? Because I say so. This is a test. Will you trust me? You see, if you learn to do whatever God tells you to do, even when it seems absurd, I can't do that, you will grow a great faith and you will build a great life. You'll have a radical faith that believes when you don't see it and obeys when you don't understand it. On the other hand, if you don't do that, if you say, God, I don't understand it, so I'm not going to do it. I only do what I understand. You know what you're going to do? Miss most of the blessings that God planned for your life. Your life will be so limited, so stunted, so shortened, so inferior, so limited compared to the kind of life that God wants to do in your life. God wants to bless you far more than you realize. But you got to get blessable. And how do you do that? By trusting him. You know, one time when I was preparing for this message, I asked Kay, honey, can you ever think of a time that you obeyed God when he told you to do something, even when it didn't make sense? And she said, yes, when you asked me to marry you. I said, okay, in hindsight, was it a good thing? She said, yes. I said, you're my babe. Tom's going to do the third facet of radical faith.
What does it mean to have radical faith? The third thing is persisting when I don't feel like it. Persisting even when I don't feel like it. There is a belief in our culture that is so strong. Every one of us are influenced by it, whether we want to be influenced by it or not. We all know this belief. The belief is, if it feels good, that's the belief. If it feels good, I should do it. If it doesn't feel good, I shouldn't do it. And whether I want to be influenced by that or not, I am. And when I allow myself to be, I become manipulated by my moods instead of living a life of faith. And God wants you and I to live a different kind of life, a life of faith, not just a life of feeling. Truth is, I don't always feel like doing the right thing. I don't know about you. I don't always feel like being nice to people. Like I see you out in the store or something. I don't always feel like being nice to you. Most of the time, but not always. You're never going to know now whether I felt like it or not when I smiled at you. But I just don't always feel like helping my wife. I really felt like washing the dishes. Or Luke comes down and says, hey, could you read through this homework paper at 11 o'clock at night? I don't feel like reading through the paper at that moment. I just don't always feel like doing the right thing. But God can give you a kind of faith that persists above feelings. And the truth of the matter is, if you look at all of life, anybody who's successful at anything does things that they don't feel like doing, that other people don't feel like doing. An Olympic athlete practices when they don't feel like it. A great musician exercises practice and understanding how to do their craft even when they don't feel like it. If you're going to be a great salesman, a great saleswoman, that means you make calls that other people don't feel like making. And if you want to get closer to God in your life, deepen your relationship with Him, that means you spend time with Him sometimes even when you don't feel like it. You find somebody who really enjoys spending time with God, that means they spent time with God sometimes even when they didn't feel like it. Faith is being persistent. Now, that's great to say, but the big question is, how do you become persistent? Because I don't know about you, I don't always feel like being persistent. Is that true about you? So how do you get there? The Bible talks about how you and I can begin to develop persistence in our lives through the example of a guy by the name of Moses. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:27, it was by faith that Moses left Egypt, and he was not afraid of the king's anger. He held to his purposes like a man who could see the invisible. That's how you get there. That's how you persist. You begin to see the invisible. You see what God can do in your life. The invisible is God. And only those who see the invisible can do the impossible. Only those who see who God really is can persist in the most difficult times of life. You realize there's more than you can see. And it's who you can see. It's God being present in your life. Now, some of you, you need to hear this right now. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, what is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things that we cannot yet see. But some of you right now, you don't have any confident assurance. The truth of the matter is, instead of feeling like persisting, you feel like you want to give up. Let me ask you to have a kind of faith you've never thought of having before. Let me ask you to have the faith right now to believe that God loves you no matter what. No matter what happened last year, no matter who isn't loving you right now, no matter how you messed up in your life, God still loves you. Even if you don't know the confidence that God is with you, He is with you. So right now, I want to invite you in your heart, in your mind, say, I don't feel it, but God, I accept it. You love me no matter what, no matter how much I messed up. Hang on, because God will make a way.
The fourth facet of radical faith, announcing it in order to experience it.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time together. But first, one of the most popular study resources we've ever offered would have to be our Bible verse scripture cards. We get countless requests for them. And we've just added another set of 52 cards to this already amazing collection. Here's Pastor Rick to tell us more.
One of the most powerful ways you can transform your spiritual life is to memorize scripture. God tells us in Proverbs 7, verse 2, guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down and also keep them deep within your heart. Now, you may not think you've got a good memory, but the truth is, we all remember what's important to us. For instance, you remember phone numbers and dates that you care about. I've heard people say they can't memorize anything, yet they can quote a song lyrics from their childhood, or they can rattle off a statistic for their favorite baseball player. You see, memory is a skill that you can learn, and it's also a muscle that you can strengthen. In fact, study after study has shown that memorizing scripture will cause your brain to have a stronger memory in other areas too. So when you memorize scripture, you're actually benefiting a lot of other areas in your life. Now, here's how I want to help you memorize God's Word. We've put together a new packet, a new set of cards with verses from the Bible for you to memorize. And these are good, easily memorizable verses. And you can put these cards around your house, or you can put them on your refrigerator, or, you know, tape them to the mirror where you brush your teeth, or you can put them by your bed, or in your car, in the visor. It doesn't really matter, but they're very beautiful, and they will keep these Bible verses, God's Word, before you every day, helping you to memorize the Word of God. I hope you'll take advantage of this new resource.
Don't miss this opportunity to get these brand new scripture cards based on the key verses found in the Radicalis Developing Spiritual Roots series. We'll send you this great resource when you give a gift to support Daily Hope today. Call 800-600-5004 to get yours, or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 1-800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. And thanks so much for your support. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.